It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to a brand new week on Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley. And today we're going to start a brand new book with some verse-by-verse teaching on one of my favorite books in the New Testament, and that would be the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul when he was under house arrest in Rome. And he wrote this book to encourage the believers in this town of Colossae, which was in Asia Minor, where Turkey is today. And he wanted to refute some false doctrines and some teachers that had infiltrated the church and brought legalism in, Greek philosophy, and all this was invading the church. And they were distracted from the supremacy of Christ, and that Christ was enough. Probably one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible is Colossians chapter 2, which we will get to this week. But I want to begin today with the first chapter of the book of Colossians as we take a verse-by-verse look at this book written by the Apostle Paul. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Paul begins with this wonderful greeting that he uses so often, wishing the people who read this letter grace and peace. Remember, grace is God's unmerited favor. It's God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do yourself. And then peace, which is not the absence, but it's the calm assurance that we can rest in, knowing that our God will work all things out for our good. It's that tranquility and that security of just knowing God's in control. Paul goes on and he says in verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. The city of Colossae was probably the smallest and least important city that Paul will write to with all of his epistles. And yet he writes this profound letter to address the things they were going through and to encourage them in their faith. He reminds them that they're constantly in his prayers and that he thanks God for them when he prays. He lets them know that the faith they have is spreading across the world and people everywhere are hearing about the faith from their church and this group of people. He said, you are bearing fruit all over the world and growing. And one of the main reasons Paul wrote this letter to this church is that some mysticism and false doctrines had crept in and was threatening the very core of this church. And so Paul writes to them to address the Gnostics, which was mixing religion in with the gospel. The same thing happens today. People pick and choose what they want from the gospel, and then they add in their own beliefs. Now let's look at verse 7. Paul goes on and says, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Now this man, Epaphras, was probably the pastor of this church, but he was a close associate with the Apostle Paul. Paul told them that they were being fruitful in every good work, referring basically to what Jesus told us, and he told his disciples in the book of John, chapter 15, when he said to them, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Paul was reminding this church that they were being fruit-bearing, that he had heard the good reports of what was happening there in Colossae. He says in verse 9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Now, this is called intercessory prayer, when you're praying for others. And Paul prayed for so many people and so many churches that he had founded and the people that he worked with, like Epaphras. Look at the prayer Paul prayed. He said, "We've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will." What a wonderful thing to pray for a friend, that God would fill them with the knowledge of what God wanted them to do and his will for their life and their church. He says, "Through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." You see, so many times we are filled with zeal and we have goals and visions and things we want to do, but we just need that understanding, that spiritual wisdom that Paul was praying for. What a great prayer to pray for your pastor and your leaders. What a great prayer to pray for our president and our leaders in Congress, that God would fill them with wisdom and understanding. And in verse 10, Paul goes on and he says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." What a wonderful list to pray for someone you love, that you live a life worthy of the Lord, that you please him in every way, and that you bear fruit in everything you're doing, growing in the knowledge of God. He goes on in verse 11 and says, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Now, this is a big theme Paul's going to address in the book of Colossians. That's why it's one of my favorite books. He talks here about the fact that God qualified us. Remember, Paul told Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He didn't say study so you'll be approved. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God. God is the one who qualifies us. God is the one who approves us through what Jesus did on the cross. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and his job is to constantly attack your mind and make you feel like you're not worthy and you don't measure up. But listen, friend, God qualified you, and he brought us into this kingdom of light. In verse 13, he goes on and says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Through his death on the cross, friend, Jesus Christ qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. In verse 14, when Paul said, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins," that word forgiveness there is interesting in the original Greek language. It's the word aphesis. And in most situations, it's usually rendered as ascending away. See, God didn't just forgive our sins, he sent them away. The Bible says he cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. God knew you would never be good enough to earn his righteousness. You and I would never achieve that in the flesh. So what did he do? He sent our sins away through the death of his son on the cross. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now in verse 15, Paul is going to get to the heart of his message to this church. He says this, speaking of Jesus, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Do you remember how the Gospel of John starts out? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's a great name for Jesus. He was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. See, Jesus Christ became the image of the invisible God. He became Emmanuel, God with us. Because we couldn't get to God, God came to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and he brought salvation. So Paul's writing to this church here at Colossae to show them the supremacy of Christ, that he's God. He's the image of the invisible God. He says, for by him all things were created, same thing John said, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. In verse 17, Paul goes on and says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is interesting because this verse always reminds me of laminin. Laminin is a cell adhesion molecule, and it's the thing that holds all the things together in our body. Read about it and look it up. It's amazing because when you look at it under a microscope, it's a shape of a cross. And Jesus, the word says here, is in him all things hold together. I love Psalm 139 where it says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So even that protein molecule in our body called laminin that holds things together points us right back here to Colossians chapter 1 where Paul tells us that in him all things hold together. He goes on in verse 18 and he said, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. You see, there was this group, the Gnostics and other false teachers that were coming into the church in the first century, and they were really trying to pull people back into dead religion instead of the gospel, the good news of salvation by grace. And Paul's having to tell them here, Christ is supreme. He is supreme. He said in verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What a beautiful verse, my friend. God desired to reconcile us back to himself, and he did it through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood on the cross. I don't think we're going to be able to finish chapter 1 today, but let me just go to verse 21 and wind up today. Paul says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Oh, friend, if you could only see yourself the way God sees you. God takes our black sin, covers it with the red blood of Jesus from the cross, and he makes us white as snow. The book of Colossians is here to remind us of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, taking it away, never to be remembered again. Thank you for joining me today, friend, for Fresh Oil. All week long this week, we're going to be talking verse by verse from the book of Colossians. Thanks for joining me. Walk in grace, friend, and remember, God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.